three of them. We'll give it to you for $10. They're $5 a piece, but if you want to buy three, we'll give it to you for... I know Zach didn't do that, did he? He did. Okay, great. Well, why don't we all get a seat, get our Bibles out. If you need a Bible, if you'll raise your hand, we'll make sure that you get one. Anybody, there's a gentleman right there, Jeff, that needs a Bible. Anybody else need a Bible this morning? We're in Psalm 116. Psalm 116. And I'm praying this morning when we're done, we'll all be a more grateful people. Psalm 116, join me as we pray and ask for God's blessing this Thanksgiving weekend. Father, thank you for your great love for us. We look forward to this coming week where we can celebrate with family and friends and once again count our many blessings and enjoy the Thanksgiving festivities and all that comes with it. Lord, we pray, though, that in our heart of hearts, Lord, that we would be people of true gratitude and true thanksgiving, and, Lord, that we would go out of our way, we would take the time and make the effort to say thanks to you, Lord, in ways that are meaningful to you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us, and we pray this morning for your blessing on your word as we study it and meditate on it. May it speak to our hearts and change our lives. We thank you for these things and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in Psalm 116, the psalmist, he asks a question and then he answers it in three ways. He says, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. And I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people." Famous Bible teacher Matthew Henry was once robbed on his way to a meeting. The next day he wrote of his experience in his diary. He wrote this, "Let me be thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." Now, how's that for looking on the bright side? No matter how grim and gloomy your circumstances might be today, if you look hard enough, you will find a reason for which to be thankful. It's been said, if we pause to think, we'll have cause to thank. If you're having trouble this morning finding some reasons for which to be grateful, here are a few suggestions. If you can't pay your bills, you can be thankful you're not one of your creditors. Good reason to be thankful. You can be thankful that only you and God have all the facts about yourself. Oh boy. Even though you haven't gotten all you want, you can be thankful you hadn't gotten what you deserve. If you can't be thankful for what you've received, at least be thankful for what you've escaped. And last, we all can be thankful for many blinds. If it wasn't for many blinds, it'd be curtains for all of us. Been 3 weeks since you heard a corny joke. They're back. Once there was a teacher who asked her fourth grade students to name one thing for which they were thankful. Most of the kids, they listed pets and parents and possessions, but one little boy, he responded, "I'm thankful for my glasses because they keep me out of a lot of trouble." The teacher asked the little guy, said, "Well, how do your glasses keep you out of a lot of trouble?" That's what the little boy said. "They keep the boys from beating me up and they keep the girls from kissing me." Hey, we all need to have an attitude of gratitude. And this is especially true for Americans. For if you've traveled abroad, you realize that most Americans scrape off their plate after a meal into the garbage disposal what three-fifths of the world would consider a feast fit for a king. My, we have so much to be thankful for. When President Calvin Coolidge issued his Thanksgiving Day proclamation, he told our citizens, "We have been a most favored people. We ought to be a most thankful people." God has blessed us. And even in economically challenging times, America still has much for which to be thankful. And if that's true for Americans, it is especially true for those of us who are Christians. For of all people in the world, none should be more thankful than those who follow Jesus, folks who have tasted God's wonderful grace. In fact, the word gratitude actually comes from this word grace. Gratitude is our response to God's amazing grace. As God has been gracious to us, we need to be grateful to Him. Hey, think of all that God has done for you. He spared not His only Son. He's given us life new and never ending, full and free, holy and happy. Add to that a complete pardon, a new birth, an abounding love, a stabilizing peace, the presence of His Spirit, a supernatural strength, special callings and gifts, brothers and sisters in Christ, to top it all off, a home in heaven. My, with all that God has done for us, the least we can do is to be thankful. Bible commentator William Heslop, he put it like this: "To save such a sinner as I, God shall never hear the end of it." That's my sentiment exactly. My mother believed in writing thank you notes. Whenever we got a gift, we would have to sit down and we'd have to write a thank you note. And I hated it with a passion. I'd rather be outside riding my bike or playing football. Most of the time, I'd already said thanks anyway. I figured that was enough. But not my mom. She believed you weren't really thankful unless you took the time and make the effort to express your gratitude in a tangible way. Now, if I ask you this morning, are you thankful for all that God has done for you? Of course, you'd say yes. I'm sure 99% of you would say, absolutely, who isn't thankful? But are we thankful enough to express that gratitude in a tangible way? I heard the courageous but tragic story of a man named Edward Spencer. Ned was a Bible college student strolling along the shores of Lake Michigan one day when he saw a boat full of passengers sinking in the cold and choppy waters. With no consideration for his own safety, Ned bravely dove into the icy waters. He swam to and from the shore 16 times that day, rescuing 17 people. After everyone was safe, Ned collapsed from exhaustion on the bank. In fact, he never fully recovered from his heroic ordeal. Complications set in that stunted his health and prohibited Ned from pursuing full-time ministry. But to make matters worse, not one of the 17 people Ned Spencer plucked from Lake Michigan that day ever found him to say thanks. Not one. I'm sure that if you had tracked down those 17 people, and if you had asked them if they were grateful, they all would have said, sure, we're grateful. But no one bothered to ever express their gratitude to Ned. Hey, Jesus has made a far greater sacrifice for us than Ned Spencer did in rescuing those people from the lake that day. Jesus has rescued us from eternal damnation. But have we taken the time and made the effort to say thanks? In Luke 17, Jesus entered a certain village one day, and he met 10 lepers who were crying out for mercy. Jesus healed all 10 lepers, but as soon as they were healed, they all raced off for the priest to be pronounced clean and to begin a new life. Only one of those 10 lepers returned and thanked Jesus for the miracle. And that's when Jesus asked, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Today, millions the world over have been recipients of the grace and mercy of Jesus. But we can still hear him ask, didn't I heal John and Jim? Didn't I save Andy and Ashley? Didn't I comfort Becky and Bill? Where are they now? Guys, are we among the nine, nowhere to be found? Or are we among the few who've taken the time to say thanks? On the bus one day, a man gave up his seat to a woman. His act of courtesy so shocked the lady that she fainted. She wasn't used to gracious men. When the lady was revived, she thanked the man for his kindness. But her gratitude so shocked him, he fainted. Neither the man nor the woman were used to gracious and grateful people, and they were shocked by their expressions. But let me ask you, I wonder if God would be shocked if today we stopped our complaining. Our complaining about our spouse and our job and our kids and our neighbors, and we simply took some time and made the effort to say thanks to God for his many blessings. Would he be shocked if we did just that? Well, here in Psalm 116, the psalmist tells us how to say thanks to God. In verse 12, he asks the question, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? In other words, what does God prefer in the way of a thank you? Does God want a thank you note? Should we send him some flowers in the mail? Maybe a card? How do you show the Almighty God that you're thankful for all the benefits that he's given you? If I'm going to put some time and some effort into expressing my thanks, then surely I'm going to want to express my gratitude in a way that's going to please the Lord. Well, this morning's text applies us three ways to say thanks to God. First, take up the cup of salvation. Second, call upon the name of the Lord. And third, pay your vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. This morning, we're going to look closely at Psalm 116 and learn how to say thanks to God. To me, verse 13 offers a truly strange means for expressing our thanks. Notice the psalmist answers, I will take up the cup of salvation. But recall the question, what shall I render or give to God for all his benefits towards me? Notice this, he tells us to give by instructing us to take. I give to God by taking from him? It really does sound strange until I think it through. For what can I really give to God that he doesn't already possess? I mean, God is the one person who needs nothing. You know, there are people on my Christmas list, like my dad, who are difficult to buy for because they already have everything I can afford to give them. And the same is true with God. Acts 17, verse 24 and 25 tell us, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. God needs nada. Psalm 50 says that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Our scrawny sacrifices don't impress him very much. I was at a Christmas party one time when someone suggested we go around the room and we share what we intended to give God that year for Christmas. Most of us talked about giving him more of our time or more of our money or more of our effort. Then came my friend's turn, and he answered with what we thought was a real Scrooge-sounding answer, you know. He really shocked the group. He said, I've got nothing to give to God this year. Everybody kind of looked at him and said, why would you say that? And that's when Greg replied, because God already owns everything that I've got. He does. Hey, understand, true gratitude begins with a frustration. God has given us so much, yet there's nothing we can really give to him in return. The only thing we can do, all we can do, is take what He's given us and allow it to accomplish its intended purpose in our hearts. Hey, listen, we thank God for His blessings when we enjoy them to the fullest. If you want to say thanks to God, take up the cup of salvation, the goblet of grace, the mug of mercy, put it to your lips and take a deep, long drink. The cup of salvation, it brims with blessing. It's heavy with heaven. David speaks of this cup in the Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 23. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Savor every single drop of God's blessing. If you want to say thanks to God, take advantage of His many and marvelous gifts. Think of it. God journeyed from the heights of heaven to the depths of earth, from the crib to the cross, from a cold, dark tomb to a throne in heaven, just to bring you blessings untold. The least we can do is open up our hearts and receive His love and His goodness toward us. Try to compensate God for His gifts, you only devalue them. If you could earn them, it would cheapen the price He paid to acquire them. The only thing we can do is open up our hearts and receive graciously. As the poet put it, the best return for one like me, so wretched to the core, is from God's gifts to draw a plea and ask Him still for more. If you want to thank God for His grace, then ask Him for more. Turn up the cup of salvation and keep on drinking. My grandma was a Southern gourmet. I mean, Grandma Adams, she could whip up a scrumptious meal in the blink of an eye. Black-eyed peas, cornbread, hot buttered grits, collard greens, okra, biscuits and gravy, fried chicken, all the extras, let me tell you. Now, if you're not from the South, I can't help it if you've lived a sheltered life. And I understand you might not be impressed, but trust me, if you could have sampled my grandma's cooking, you'd be an instant admirer. My grandma was amazing. When a visitor came to her house, no matter the time of day, she would start dinner and she'd invite you to her table. Before you knew it, she had served up a banquet fit for a king, and she'd take nothing for it. If you tried to pay her, you would insult her. The only way you could say thanks to my grandma was to clean your plate. My grandma's reward for cooking was the joy of seeing someone scarf up her victuals and come roaring back for more. The greatest insult was to take a nibble or two and then push your plate aside as if you didn't really like the food. That's the way it is with God's blessing. When you clean your plate and ask for more, we say to God, thanks. But when we don't have time to eat, or when we fill up on other stuff, or when we're too busy for what God has provided, oh, that's when we break God's heart. We insult God when we consume junk food, when we feed on the garbage that the world offers, and we never bring our appetites to the Lord's table. Here's a great quote. This is the height of all madness. This is the lowest depth of all sin. God spares not His own Son, and we stand with our hands folded on our chest. How dare we? Don't stand with your hands folded up on your chest. Reach out and grab every single blessing that God has for you and pull it close to you. Don't waste a single drop of God's grace. If you want to say thanks to God, turn up the cup of salvation and savor every single drop. Well, there's a second way to say thanks to God. Notice again verse 13. We're told to call on the name of the Lord. When trouble strikes, when a need arises, we say thanks to God by calling on Him for help. Again, at first glance, this sounds like a selfish way to express our thanks. You'd think we'd do for God rather than asking Him to do for us. But again, what can we really do for God that He can't do a better job of Himself? I mean, you know, when a dad involves his little toddler in a project, he's not doing it because he needs the kid's help. If anything, his child is just going to get in his way and slow him down. No, dad gets his toddler to help him because he enjoys a child's company, because he wants to teach him a lesson or develop a skill. And this is why God involves us in his work. God doesn't need us. When we serve God, we're not doing God a favor. God is doing us a favor. When we say thanks to God, we do so not by helping him, but by asking him for his help. You know, when my kids are in trouble, they don't go searching the yellow pages for the nearest PhD. They don't canvass the universities for an expert in the field. They don't even dial 911. When my kids have a problem, they call DAD. They run to dad. They expect him to take over the situation and salvage a solution. And you know what? I wouldn't have it any other way. Nothing flatters a father more than when his kids turn instinctively to him for help. And the same is true with God. If you really want to say thanks to God, make him your first retreat in times of trouble, not your last resort. Let me give you another illustration. What if you find an automobile mechanic who does great work? He's fair, he's honest, he's efficient. How do you say thanks to that mechanic? Do you send him a thank you note? Or a pick-me-up bouquet? Try that with a macho mechanic. He might just punch you in the mouth. No, what that mechanic wants most is your return business. The next time your car breaks down, if you look up another mechanic, he's going to assume you weren't satisfied with his service. But if he's the first person you call with a car problem, that mechanic knows that you appreciate his work. Well, let me ask you, when you're sick, what's your first reaction? Do you take an aspirin or call the doctor? Or do you pray? Do you ask God for his help and seek him for his intervention? When you're lonely, what's your first response? Do you call a friend? Take in a movie? Visit a bar? Or do you spend some time with God and renew your fellowship with him? When business dips, what's your first remedy? Increase marketing? Take out an ad? Hire a consultant? Or do you trust God for his blessing? When you're tired and weary, where do you run for rest? Do you kick back and veg out in front of the television? Take a vacation? Or do you go to God and ask him for his peace? You see, the psalmist tells us that we say thanks to God by calling on the name of the Lord. For the last 8 years or so, I figured it up last night, I think it's about 8 years. For the last 8 years, I've been proofreading English composition papers. First, it was Natalie. Before she ever turned in a paper, she'd always email it to me and let Dad read it over before she turned it in. And then it was Nick. And this past week, Matt got in on the action. You know, the kids have figured out that it's nice to have an author in the family who can review their papers before they turn them in. And here's how it happens. It usually gets emailed to me about 10 o'clock the night before the assignment is due the next morning. Dad, can you help me? And I usually mumble something like, what do these kids expect me to do? Drop everything I'm doing and help them out in a moment's notice. That's what I say. But that's not really how I feel. I'm so glad they want my help. And I do drop whatever I'm doing. And I do help them out in a moment's notice. In fact, I would be insulted if they ever stopped coming to me for help. You know, the only time I really get bothered by reviewing their papers is when we get it back from the teacher with a C. Teachers don't even know anything about English. Hey, when my kids run to me for help, I feel loved and I feel trusted. I'm glad they want my input in their life. And this is how God feels when we call on him in times of trouble. Did you hear about the couple who got married at a travel agency? That's right. She was looking for a getaway, and he was her last resort. I'm back. Hey, is the Lord your last resort, or is he your first retreat? You say thanks to God by calling on the name of the Lord. And then the third way the psalmist tells us that we can thank God is to pay our vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Now imagine the writer of Psalm 116. He is so thankful to God that he's taken his lamb on a little leash, the pick of the litter, and he has paraded his sacrifice now through the streets of Jerusalem. Without regard to the opinions of others, simply overwhelmed with his enthusiasm and love for God, the psalmist now has gone up to the Jewish temple to offer this sacrifice openly and publicly before the community. And you know, if we're truly thankful, we too will offer our sacrifice openly and publicly. If we're thankful, we'll go public with our praise. You know, Jesus told us that when we pray, we need to go into our closet and we need to close the door behind us. Prayer is a private act. But when it comes to praise, that's when you roll down the windows. Whisper your prayers, but shout out your praise so all can hear. Psalm 107 says it clearly, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." We live in a day when every blasphemous, godless, unimaginable evil gets drug out into the light of day and paraded across the TV screens. People flaunt their sacrilege and spew their irreverence. There's no shame anymore. Well, it's about time, in my opinion, that we who love God step out and become equally bold and equally vocal about our gratitude. Let's stop acting as if we're ashamed of God. Let's go boldly into the marketplace and let's let the world know that our success is the result of one thing, God's blessing. Praise and thanksgiving need to go public. You know, I've never known much about cars. While other boys had their heads under the hood tinkering with the engine, I was off somewhere dribbling a basketball. I know where to put the key. I know what makes it go. I can locate the gas pedal. That's about the extent of my mechanical knowledge. When it comes to automobiles, I'm pretty ignorant. But I want you to understand, I don't like to admit this. I don't admit this readily. I mean, no man likes to admit they don't know much about cars. Because engines and grease are macho stuff. I mean, real men are supposed to know their way around the engine block. No man wants to be known as mechanically illiterate. I'll never forget the day, though, that my ignorance was exposed and I was humiliated. Right after Kathy and I had gotten married, we made a trip to North Lake Mall. We were about to leave when the car wouldn't start. And so I popped the hood. That didn't mean anything for me. Other than the fact I heard somewhere that when the car doesn't start, you pop the hood. It didn't mean I was going to fix anything. But I popped the hood. Then a horrible thing happened. Two grown men, my peers, they walked over in order to help me. I couldn't let them know how inept I was. And so I grabbed a screwdriver and I started monkeying around, slapping things, hitting things, you know, not really knowing what I was doing. And I didn't think it could get any worse, but it did. Because right there in front of those two grown men, my wife decides to get out of the car. Right in front of these guys, she walks around, she grabs a screwdriver out of my hand, and she decides to play Mrs. Goodwrench. In broad daylight, my wife proceeds to fix my car. Right there in front of two grown men, I was humiliated. My wife knew more about cars than I did. And these two men now knew it. I should have been thankful. In fact, later that night, I thanked Kathy privately. But publicly, at that moment, I was so embarrassed. And this is the problem that some people have in their relationship with God. Privately, we'll thank God. But publicly, we would rather everyone else think that we were able to do it ourselves. You see, human beings don't like broadcasting to other people their ineptitude and their dependence. And why is that? Why is it so hard for us to admit our weaknesses? I mean, think about it. None of us are truly independent and self-sufficient people. There's really no such thing as a self-made man or a self-made woman. You know, you're in debt the moment you come into the world. On the day you were born, you already owed a person 9 months room and board. Psalm 110 tells us that we owe God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We depend on God for the air we breathe and for our next breath. Why is it so hard for us to be honest about our dependence on God? Why is it so hard for us to go public with our praise? I'll tell you the problem. It's your problem and it's my problem. It's called pride. Pride slays thanksgiving. A proud person hates to say thanks because when he does, it shatters the illusion that he's in control. Gratitude is the admission that I have a need that I can't meet. And we've all got those needs. Who's fooling who? You know, it's so freeing to just drop the facade, get rid of the pride, and just be grateful. The tribes of East Africa, they have an unusual way to say thank you. Members from the Maasai tribe of Kenya, they bow their heads to the ground and they say, "My head is in the dirt." Members from another tribe, they sit on the ground a long time before the hut of the person to whom they're thankful. They literally say, "I sit on the ground before you." You see, these African tribes, they understand a truth that makes gratitude so difficult for us. They realize that true thanksgiving is first and foremost an act of humility. You know, the psalmist, he contends that we're not really grateful to God unless we're willing to lay aside our pride and go public with our praise. True thanksgiving won't be intimidated by the sneers or the slights or the scowls of other people. It will rise up even when looked down on. Robert Walpole was the first Prime Minister of Great Britain, but his government failed because he was betrayed by former friends who chose to vote him out of office. Walpole sat in the House of Commons that day as its members stepped forward to cast their vote that brought down his administration. One by one, his opponents stepped up to cast their votes. And as each man passed by, Walpole turned to the reporters around him and he made comments. He said, "That fellow there, I saved him from the gallows. And you see that fellow there? I saved him from starvation. And that man over there, I promoted his son to an office in my government." And on it went with similar stories. Each parliament member who voted against Walpole that day had a reason to be thankful to him. But rather than express their gratitude, they buckled under to the political pressures that were being applied. They lacked the courage to say thanks. When it comes to your relationship with God, will you buckle under to the political pressures of the office or the workplace? Or your classroom, or your school, or among your peers? Oh, it's not cool to be grateful. It's not cool to praise God openly and publicly. Will you buckle under to those pressures? Or will you rise up and do the right thing and go public with your praise? Are you truly grateful? You know, it takes guts to show gratitude. Don't just praise God in the safety of this sanctuary or in the quiet of your home. Be courageous and go public with praise and thanksgiving. Let me close with a story of a man who found the barn where Satan kept his seeds. There were seeds there of discouragement and doubt and fear and lust and guilt and greed. And it frightened the man to hear Satan boast of how his seeds could take root and how they could grow in the heart of almost any person, any type of soil. The man questioned him, though. He said, "Are you sure your seeds will grow in any soil?" And that's when Satan had to backtrack. He reluctantly admitted, "Well, there is one place I can never get them to grow, and that's in the heart of a grateful person." Oh, how you and I need to be thankful people. And how do we say thanks to God for all His benefits towards us? We take up the cup of salvation. We enjoy every single blessing the blood of Jesus has purchased for us. Then we call upon the name of the Lord. In times of trouble, we run to our Heavenly Father for help. And then we pay our vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. We go public with our praise. And we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, thank you for your word this morning, for your good word, a good encouragement to our hearts this Thanksgiving season. All week long, Lord, we're going to have opportunities to cower away, to pretend that we did it, to maintain the illusion that the goodness and the grace is all a result of our effort and our ingenuity and our hard work. Or we can get rid of our pride right off the bat here. We can just confess before you and each other that, Lord, that we're capable of no good thing. That the eternal works, the good works, are yours and yours alone. And we can admit right up front here that if it weren't for you, we would have no breath. We would have no life at all. That you are the author of every good and perfect gift. Help us to humble ourselves and be grateful. And all week long, Lord, help us to be vocal. Help us to go public with our praise. Help us to let others know how grateful we are. And help others to know that you're the source of the good things in our lives. Lord, help us to take up the cup of salvation this morning and drink every single drop, to enjoy every single blessing you have for us. Lord, help us never shy away from running to you when we need you. Lord, help us to express our gratitude. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness toward us this day. Lord, we pray a special blessing on those who are about to be baptized. Lord, we just ask that you, Lord, fill their hearts with that sense of forgiveness, that feeling of forgiveness. Lord, just once again, flood over them, Lord, with your love and your mercies and your grace. Help them feel the warmth of your embrace, Lord. And help them feel the power of your Spirit in their life. Lord, may we all gather around and celebrate a new life you give us all in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for your love toward us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Why don't we all stand together? Don't forget tonight, we'll be studying through the Bible, our through the Bible study every Sunday night at 6.